Committee on Oil and Gas has called to order on February 28th at 10:08 a.m. For the record, the committee members present are Vice Chairman Scott Ogan, Representative Bill Williams, Representative Tom Bryce, Representative Betty Davis, Representative David Finkelstein. The quorum is present. On today's calendar, we have a HJR 26 resolution supporting Alaska's right to 90% of the royalties from oil, gas, and coal leasing for federal properties in the state of Alaska. At this time, the chair will change hats and move from the chairman into the bill sponsor's position, and I will try to walk you through the nature of this resolution. However, before I proceed, could I check to see if there's anybody present that wants to testify on this resolution? Mrs. Armstrong, is there anybody signed in for testimony?
No, looks like you got it.
Oh. Good. We'll try to expedite things. I know everybody's quite busy this morning.
Sunshine.
Right. Referring to the bill package, let me just briefly go through the sponsor statement. Now, this resolution is a statement by the Alaska Legislature to the United States Congress that indicates that they cannot unilaterally amend the Statehood Act. Alaska has tried since statehood to avoid confrontation over issues by working with Congress to ensure that any post-statehood amendments to the Statehood Act do not materially diminish the rights conferred by the state when it was admitted to the Union. There's no question that an act by Congress admitting a new state to the Union constitutes a compact, a legally enforceable contract between the citizens of the new state and the United States. The first line of Section 4 of PL 85-508, the Statehood Act, states in part, as a compact with the United States, said state and its people do agree. Therefore, the provisions contained in this act that confer rights to the state of Alaska are valid and can be enforced against the United States. The operative sections of the Statehood Act, as contained in your package behind the fiscal notes, are sections 28A and sub B, section 35, and they're in your bill packages. And they state briefly that the state of Alaska, by exception, has the right to share in federal royalties and revenues from lands leased in the state on a 90-10 percentage basis. And which was codified in the Statehood Act. And this resolution seeks to reinforce that the people of Alaska have the right to the 90-10 sharing formula. Naturally, this issue is important to us because of our previous passage of a resolution requesting the United States Congress to open Area 1002 in the ANWR area for oil and gas exploration. And it was felt by the chair at the time we moved that resolution that at the request of the congressional delegation we not mention the royalty provisions. And the chair believed that was an important issue to expedite and help the congressional delegation in opening up ANWR. We had discussion at the time of that resolution about the royalty issue. And on further reflection and so forth, I think that the importance of our royal sharing is so important to this state that this committee and this legislature can't be quiet on this issue. So therefore, hopefully, the original resolution to open ANWR can be carried forward by our congressional delegation, and we certainly all wish them success. But in so doing, they should also remember that the statehood compact creating the state provided for the additional sharing of revenues from federal lands to the state of Alaska. There were specific exceptions made at the time to grant the state of Alaska a greater share, and those provisions were provided for in Section 28, where the Congress amended the Mineral Leasing Act under the citation 30 U.S. Code 191. Now, today I passed out to the membership here both the existing code as it exists today, as well as a historic background on what the code was prior to its latest amendment. Now, in addition, if you look at your bill package, at the end, and I'll direct you to the end of the package, it's called Appendix A. Now, Appendix A was to the Attorney General's Opinion Number 6, written by G. Kent Edwards, in a letter to Congressman Aspinall on September 5th, 1969. And in that appendix on paragraph 2, it shows the language which was changed by the Statehood Act, which provided for the sharing of revenues on all federal property to go 37.5% to all the states, and specifically for the construction of public schools, roads, and other public educational institutions. All the states, so they understand this, and this is something that's been confusing me based on my research, have the right to the 37.5%. But the clarifying differential here was at the time of statehood enactment that the Congress reserved a special grant to the state of Alaska of 52.5% at that time by amending the Mineral Act, which is the 30 U.S. United States Code 191. So we could receive this additional amount of money. And what is interesting, and we will be getting to this, is the recent code when people are talking about the 50-40 split, and we'll get to that shortly, is because of amendments in that particular act. So, but Appendix A of Attorney General Edwards' opinion number 6 and 69 shows what the conditions were just after the Statehood Act, or after the Statehood Act was adopted. Now, going on in your package, and you don't necessarily have to follow with me, I would refer to page 10 of opinion number 6, which is kind of behind the, I can find it myself. Aha. The concluding paragraph, and this is where I apologize to the committee for not having these tabs for you, easy to follow along. But just for your reference, I'll read the introductory two paragraphs in this opinion on that page as relates to the Alaska Statehood Act. The question which is raised by the conflict of the 2% royalty with the Alaska Statehood Act is as following. Let me interject here that these various opinions revolved around the granting of a 2% royalty in order for the state to move to the conclusion of which ultimately became ANILCA and resolve the sharing of revenues with the native community of the state. So all these opinions and the research that relates to this act are focused on the 2% royalty sharing act provision. And then to go on page 10, the question then becomes, may the United States unilaterally enact legislation in direct conflict with the Statehood Act? And the answer to this is that the United States may not constitutionally enact effective legislation in direct conflict with the compact provisions of the Statehood Act unless there is an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, because a Statehood Act constitutes a compact in the nature of a contract between two sovereign governments. Now that is the opinion. Therefore, the Congress of the United States cannot unilaterally change the law. In other words, they can't go from 90-10 to 50% without a constitutional change in the state of Alaska. However, to move on in this, I'm reading from a supplement to opinion number six, which is not part of your package. Let me just really briefly read this. This just reinforces the prior statement. For Congress to unilaterally rewrite those terms would be to dishonor its grant of the royalty and to breach one of the conditions on which Alaska consented to be bound by the Statehood Act. This arrangement cannot be otherwise viewed than as a solemn compact between Alaska and the United States, which is entitled to the same constitutional protection afforded all such obligations. I'm just underlining and underscoring again the nature of this compact by reading that citation. And it's interesting to note in passing, and for the record, that opinion number six was conveniently lost. And then when the opinions were bound at a certain point in time, subsequent to its issuance, that an attorney general decided that the opinion was not issued. It's interesting enough in the history of our state. So when this particular opinion by Mr. Edwards was drafted at a point in time when it would have been used in relationship to the Anilka situation, and that's why it's interesting to know, I handed it out the letter from Attorney General Wilson Condon dated April 13th, 1982, whereas he's endeavoring to explain the fact that opinion number six was not issued. And I really won't go into it at this time, but it's interesting to note for bedroom reading here of the history of the state of Alaska that this was this happened to occur under the watch of one Attorney General John Havelock. Moving on to the issue at point here, I'd refer you to at the beginning of the about after the Statehood Act, there is a letter from Attorney General Wilson Condon to Hugh Malone. It's addressed on April 2nd, 1981 to the Honorable Hugh Malone. I'd direct your attention to that. And if you look on page 2, at the end of the second paragraph there, that about midway down at the end of that first full paragraph, if you can find that. This is really quite interesting. This is page 2 of that letter. Everybody with me? The final sentence in that paragraph said, "What is clear is that the United States cannot unilaterally amend the Statehood Act to the state's detriment without the state's consent or acquiescence." And so this is another Attorney General's opinion, and then there's a footnote 1. And the light bulb comes on, eureka, when you read footnote 1. And the bottom of footnote 1, what I'm getting at here is why the state of Alaska, and as it relates to the provisions of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and subsequently to ANILCA, did not protest the imposition of the 2% royalty when ANILCA was passed. Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act was passed. And the reason is found in the footnote there, that no action was taken to ensure proper resolution of pending native claims. Governor Egan, on behalf of the state, consented to these amendments, and the state did not litigate the issue within the time specified by Section 10 of the ANSCA. Therefore, what occurred with the 2% royalty under the ANSCA could have been found was against the state's constitution, but because the state acquiesced to it and there was no litigation, that's why it went forward. Therefore, it's my considered opinion that if we don't enforce the 90-10 provisions under the Statehood Act, if in fact and hopefully ANWR is ever opened up, a lawsuit could be brought forward by any citizen of the state of Alaska finding any subsequent split by the Congress as a unilateral change to our compact and therefore hold up development of ANWR and obviously protract the situation there. So I think that's the central issue here, as well as, of course, the fact that we relied on that percentage when the people of this state or the territory of Alaska voted to become a state. So that's why this is really quite important. Then I refer you now to the provisions of the historical U.S. code that I've handed out. And this, in, for your passing, as a matter of file, and this could be a nice file for everybody to have because it really relates to these issues and is part of our Statehood Act. I've added those for that that provision. And you can see now that the latest amendments of 30 United States Codes, Section 191, indicate that presently 50% rather than 52.5% of all revenues go to the reclamation funds of other states instead of 52.5%. And Alaska has reserved 40% thereof to be paid in additional to that. What happened is the 37.5% was changed to 50%, and the 40% received by the state of Alaska is the exception now from the other states because of change in the reclamation fund situation. So that is the current provisions. Therefore, Alaska is the only state with this exception in the United States codes. That's as it exists today. Therefore, myself, with co-sponsorship of Representative Ogun and Representative Barr, have offered this resolution for your consideration. And that's one more note. If you would take a look at the footnote in the number 2 fiscal note, it's interesting to see at the very bottom of that, the last couple of sentences, that at current prices, discovery of a 1 billion barrel oil field with a conventional 12.5% royalty and the 90% royalty share would mean something on the order of $1.125 billion over the life of the field, or as much as $125 million a year at peak production. A 50% share would reduce this to approximately $70 million a year. Or we stand the chance of losing $55 million a year in revenue if there were a change in the formula, all things being equal based on this assumption of a billion-barrel field. Therefore, we could have a positive fiscal note because of the speculative nature of this situation, it is zeroed out. So I would bring that to your attention. Therefore, I would close my testimony and open the floor for any testimony from the audience or the public. And hearing none, we'll close the public testimony portion. I would like to bring to the committee now amendment number 1. Does everybody have a copy which reads, doesn't have amendment 1, it's the first one here that relates to page 1, line 3, and I apologize for not having that number. We would mark that as amendment number 1, where it says we're going to delete Statehood Compact, page 1, line 3 of the resolution. Going to the resolution. Let's make sure we all have a copy of that. And where we're going to delete Statehood Compact and add inserting Alaska Statehood Act approved by the United States Congress on July 7, 1958, in which the Congress accepted, ratified, and confirmed the Constitution of the State of Alaska previously. And Mr. Bryce.
Thank you.
We're trying to clean up the title here.
No, yeah, it's a good idea. My concern is when we're talking Alaska Statehood Compact or Alaska Statehood Act, should we also be including the Mineral Leasing Act, considering that we're making the amendments, that amendments were made to the Mineral Leasing Act?
And well, actually, what I've got here is another amendment. It goes on to specify the historic antecedents of the 37.5 and 52.5. Maybe we can amend the amendment to cite the U.S. code that might be appropriate. And I admit that this particular second amendment, we should mark this number 2 for purpose of discussion. We might want to toy with the wording on these. These, we kind of crashed these out kind of fast.
So. Okay.
But that actually relates to the initial, the historic
leasing.
Yeah, that actually relates to the percentages that were shown in the right. So, because that kind of cleans up the resolution a little bit here. But this is just focusing on the title itself, Amendment Number 1. Is there any discussion of this amendment? Does everybody have an understanding of it?
Do you need a motion for discussion?
Yeah, go ahead and move it.
Chairman, I move to accept Amendment Number 1 to delete Statehood Compact and insert Alaska Statehood Act and other wording.
Hearing no objections, so moved. Okay, let's move on to Number 2 here. Number 2, does everybody have that? Like I say, we might want to tune this up a little bit. Well, I did, going down to page 2, line 8. We deleted that one error, whereas, and inserted these other two whereases. Let's take a moment here and we can do some toy drafting. Are you going to help?
How are you doing?
Oh, okay. One thing I'm thinking of is, like, I would say at the end of both whereas is as contained in the original, as originally contained in 30 U.S.C. 191 or something like that.
Maybe a suggestion, Mr. Chair. Sure. Whereas the Congress, and then maybe after Congress, comma, some type of statement like as established in 30 U.S.C. 191 Mineral Reclamation Act, comma, intended the 37.5% royalty be paid by, like that. Set it in there right after Congress in the first, whereas. And then the remaining. And then the remaining 52.5%, the second, whereas the remaining 52.5%, comma, as established by USC or 30 USC 191, comma, royalty shall be paid directly to the state of Alaska for disposition.
How about as set forth rather than established?
Sure. There
as,
we go.
Good. As set forth in 30 U.S.C. 191. Let me just double check that citation on the. Okay. And then, okay, whereas the Congress in the first, whereas.
Yeah.
Whereas the Congress, then just say in U.S.C., no, in 30 U.S.C. 191, intended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is this. I'll have that for the secretary without any difficulty. Then we would move the, whereas the Congress in 30 U.S.C. 191 intended the 37.5% royalty be paid by the United States Treasury for the construction and maintenance of public roads, support of public schools, and other public educational institutions, whereas the remaining 52.5% royalty as set forth in 30 U.S.C. 191 shall be paid directly to the state of Alaska for disposition by the legislature in lieu of payment to the reclamation fund created by Congress. Any other suggestions here in the language? I don't mind. There's no pride of authorship,
okay.
Frankly.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wright.
If we're talking about USC or 30 USC 191, it might be appropriate. We might want to talk about a separate amendment or use this amendment under the third whereas on the first page that where it states, whereas the Alaska Statehood Act contains a binding contract between the people of Alaska and the federal government, maybe something whereas the Alaska Statehood Act amends the Mineral Leasing Act to establish a binding contract with the people.
Well, we could junk it up with a lot of citations or something, you know.
It's just something to consider.
I don't know what you're getting at, but I don't know. I don't see where that would help the flow of the resolve.
I guess
we're putting up enough flow roadblock with this Second Amendment kind of, but it makes the point about the historic antecedents is what I wanted to make with it. You know?
Uh huh.
Because there is confusion when people read that act, and I know I was confused. And that's why I started looking into it further and further. And the further I got looking into it, the more upset I got about the whole situation. Right. Although, maybe we should, instead of on the Second Amendment, maybe we should refer to the Mineral Leasing Act as well as the citation. So people reading it would know what we're talking about.
Yeah, refer to both of them. The Mineral Leasing Act, then in parentheses, 30 U.S.C. 191.
Yeah, why don't we do that? We'll... On amendment number two,
whereas
the Congress in the Mineral Leasing Act, the pair in the citation.
Yeah.
Okay.
In both places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what we're talking about is specific amendments to the Mineral Leasing Act.
And ironic, and the Act itself has very specific language exempting Alaska.
Exactly.
Any further discussion on this amendment? You want to move the amendment number two?
I have a quick question.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ogun.
Thank you, sir. We're just adding the verbiage in the Mineral Leasing Act in the first whereas, and then leaving as set forth in 30 U.S.C. 191 in the second paragraph.
No, I think we'd add the Mineral Leasing Act in both. That
okay.
That was our
both
idea.
Of them would have right. Mineral Leasing Act, parentheses, 30.
That's set forth, and the second one as set forth in the Mineral Leasing Act in the citation afterwards. Any other further discussions about the flow of the language there? I mean, any help there? The chair would be appreciative of. Hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion, amendment two.
I move amendment number two.
Any objections? Hearing none, amendment number two is adopted. Are there any further amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
On line 17, that coerce. I haven't seen anything in the whereases that imply coercion. Maybe this amendment we just had.
Tell me where I'm lost. Where
page 2, line 17.
Oh, okay.
Although this amendment number 2, referring to the Mineral Leasing Act, but still, you know, I think we're assuming that they're trying to coerce, but I don't see anything in any of the whereases that imply coercion. If
I guess the threat here, there's an implied threat there.
Well, okay.
Control. Representative Bryce.
I think line 16 clarifies that, be it resolved that any attempts. So I think what we're doing is making the statement that in the future, if there are attempts to coerce the state, versus present or past.
Okay. The chair for the record notes that we did discuss that, and I would thank Representative Bryce for clarifying it, because that was the opinion there, because we did concern ourselves with the power of the word coerce. But after consulting Rajesh Thrasaras and other sources, we felt it was the most appropriate word. After due review, so we did consider that. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you considered it but before I got to this meeting, or you considered it while drafting the resolution?
While drafting the resolution.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
As I mentioned, the chair is open to any help in improvement to any document without pride of authorship.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
If anybody has any trouble with that word being a little strong, I've changed some words here, added some language that might be, I'd like to just throw out for discussion. I have no pride
problem.
Either. Be it resolved that any attempts by U.S. Congress or the President of the United States to consider or impose on the state of Alaska anything less than what was promised at statehood penalize. Anyway, that's, you know, it's less threatening, I suppose.
Well, changing coerce
for consideration.
Imposed, and, yeah, to impose mm-hmm. rather than coerce.
To consider or impose on the state of Alaska.
Excuse me, Representative Bryce?
I think coercion has specific implications, the word does, where such as blackmail, forcing the state to accept something less, where I think statement you're saying, while it is much less combative, I don't believe that it properly captures the concern that might be felt if attempts were made to water down 90-10, and what type of attempts would be made to make the people of Alaska to accept 90-10. In other words, well, we're going to take away all your federal highway funds unless if you do your 90-10, or we're going to impose this or that on you unless if you lessen your stand on 90-10, which would be an act of coercion.
Representative Rice, does this mean to open Anwar we all have to wear helmets?
Let's hope not.
Any discussion?
Does carrying a gun go with wearing the helmets?
Not might. Oh. No, you can't carry a gun. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? What's the will here of the bod?
Could we have him read his statement again?
Representative Davis, would you please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that any attempts by the U.S. Congress or the President of the United States to consider or impose on the state of Alaska anything less than what was promised at statehood penalizes the people of Alaska. And again, you know, it's I just, you know, in debate on the floor over resolutions, I can see that word popping out as having some concern on some people. I don't necessarily. I think Representative Bryce did a fairly decent job of explaining and the definition of the word coerce, and I don't have any problem. It's just that I can possibly see some concern by members, and if it has a hang-up, then we might have a fallback or a request anyway.
Well, the chair likes the word impose rather than coerce almost. I don't know. Any opinions?
I like coerce more than
can we take a poll? I mean, we could just...
So we could move the amendment and we can vote on it.
Yeah.
Well, like generally
that would be too easy.
Yeah.
Let's talk some more.
Let's talk some more.
I like the polls better than cars.
We take a poll? We got...
Move your amendment.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. There's
his amendment was different from just...
Yeah, yeah. No, no, exactly. You said in consideration. I don't understand.
To consider or impose.
To consider? I don't understand to consider. Why is that? That seems to be excessive language.
Yeah, it seems like it wouldn't be so bad to have them ask us to consider it. I don't mind considering it. Just whether they impose it or not.
Right. I mean, I don't understand.
Might be a little better without considering.
I don't. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Impose.
Just delete the. What'd you say?
Bring the amendment. To the amendment.
Do you wish
the
you
legal
would
or
strike
imposes?
If I.
Right, just substitute impose for coerce, maybe. Because mm-hmm. how's that? Does that work for you?
Sure.
Is that, or is
impose
did you clean it up?
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davis.
I move that page 2, line 17, after United States, to impose on be added and to coerce deleted.
Any discussion?
Okay, I'm going to object for purposes of clarity here.
Representative Bryce, you're objecting. Please state your objections.
And so now it's going to read that any attempts by the United States Congress or the President of the United States to impose the state of Alaska
on the state of Alaska,
on the state of Alaska into accepting less than what was promised.
That doesn't read right.
No,
it doesn't read right.
Then we would also need to change into accepting, delete that and add anything.
Anything less than
the state of Alaska. Anything
less than.
Okay. Okay, that was what my point was.
You want to restate the... Representative David, could please restate the amendment for the record?
So now the proposed amendment would read, page 7, or line 17, of the United States impose on the state of Alaska anything less.
Less than what was promised at stake.
Any objections? Hearing none, the amendment's adopted. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you have a note?
That's okay, boss.
Oh, I'm sorry. The quick gavel. Should have said something.
Speak up, man.
Right.
Notes are irrelevant now.
Okay.
Can we sleep? Wants to see the note.
I can't read. I'm getting old, Scott. I can't read down here.
I'll elbow you next time.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Don't be so shy.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Are there any further amendments? Okay.
Oh, but I got another note.
Oh, okay. Oh, notes are out of order. Well, hearing none, then the chair will entertain a motion to move the CS for House Joint Resolution 26, oil and gas,
as amended.
With individual recommendations.
And
accompanying fiscal notes.
So moved.
Any objections? Boom, bang. Hearing another, just like to make a small comment after we adjourn. Is there any other business we need to bring before the committee? Hearing none, that this committee stands adjourned at 10:53. Oh, and the...